On this episode of the History Worth Saving podcast, we're talking to a former corporate marketing guy, a Fortune 500 guy, literally working for some of the largest companies in the world in the energy section, consumer manufacturing, and tech. And finally, he fell back and trusted himself enough and had the support of his family just to leave all of that behind. The Monday morning commutes, the board meetings, all of that left in a trail of dust, falling back on his passion in life, which is art. We're talking about Masters of the Art all season long, and I wanted to get this guy on because A, he's a friend, but B, he personifies so much of the modern American dream, going at it on our own. Here now is artist Craig Tender. Craig, thanks for being here. It's a pleasure
to have
you.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Really appreciate it. You bet.
I couldn't think of a better guy to have on. I could just see you planning your escape and then leaving right before the pandemic hit. So this was not a pandemic-induced decision. This was something that you've been planning to do, and you finally did it. And I, just from the looks of it, it's going pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, when the pandemic, came and hit, it gave you, everybody, I think, a chance to kind of look at themselves and what they're doing. And I was fortunate that, I didn't have to worry about getting laid off or having having a job taken away. It really kind of gave me the effort to push forward and drive it even harder. And I've been very fortunate to continue to, stay afloat and make money and grow my collector and customer base through the whole pandemic.
I want to get straight to it. What was the point when you had enough self-confidence, or was it a financial decision? What was the point when you said, okay, I can do this? I can jump.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'd been in the corporate world really my whole life, and I'd traveled around the world, started off my career in high tech, working with companies like Micron PC. I worked for Hewlett Packard for many years, started off as a user interface design engineer. If you ever happen to come across an HP copier or multifunction printer and you touch the control panel on that device, that was what I designed and led a team over many years to develop that. After different opportunities, moving across the country, living in multiple states, like you said, the morning commute, driving an hour and a half through Houston traffic each way, I finally had gotten to a point, in my life, watching my kids grow up and get older. I had always had a sense for wanting to get back to a passion that I had, a creativity, a burning desire to work back on my own at some point and really figure out how to make that happen. And so in around 2017, I was just tired. I was traveling internationally, working out of Stockholm, Sweden for a while. I just didn't have time to really kind of fulfill my passion. My wife had decided to go back to school and got her master's degree. And we finally looked at each other and we said, we've got different business trips heading off into different directions at the same time, leaving our kids at home. This isn't going to work. And I finally said, I think I need to give this a shot. I really have this drive, this passion. And if I can make this work, just give me, 2 years to kind of settle into this. I asked her, I said, just give me 2 years. We'll see if we can figure this out, if I can start to cash flow and start making, kind of a name for myself here. I think I can get this going. And she said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to be an artist. And it was something that I had always wanted to be. I was a senior artist of the year in high school. I had illustrated fly fishing books, begun illustrating aircraft and things with a real passion towards history. And kind of sharing a romantic story about various pastimes and learning about the heroes of the past. And I said, this is kind of the vision. This is kind of the space I want to go into. And I was always told, you know, art is a, you know, that's a fool's errand at that point. How are you going to make any money at that? But with all of the corporate work that I had done as a, starting off as a graphic artist, user interface design engineer, and then working into coming all the way to being a vice president of e-commerce and working in marketing technology, I said, I've got some skills to actually, I think, pull this together. I understand the technology and social media and kind of putting this plan together. And my art side is the frosting on the cake at that point.
You know, it was 80 acres and a mule, right? I mean, that was the promise that took a lot of people west. The idea of working for yourself is not a new idea, but we sort of grew up in the culture of, you know, you go there, you get 25 years in, you get the gold watch. And at some point, if you're lucky enough, you know, you retire and you play golf every day. And that to me would be a prison. And yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. But the thought of having to retire and not do anything is just not something that is personally satisfying to me. This is something that you want to do every single day when you wake up. I mean, you just love this stuff. And now you get to do it. And I think that anyone who's listening to this can't help but hear that excitement in your voice. I mean, I get it, right? I get it. I love it. I love what I do. It's not work. Talking to cool people like you and hearing these stories. But this is almost, I think it's the modern American dream.
What you know, that's an incredible way to put it, because I tell my kids, I've got two high schoolers right now. I've got a senior and a freshman. And in 2016, I lost my dad to cancer. And one of the last things he mentioned to me, and this was another one of those catalyst moments, was and very much he had worked with the notion that, you know, you spend 20 years at a company, you get your lapel pin and you wear it to church. And by God, you wouldn't think of leaving. But my dad had actually mentioned to me in 2016, he said, Craig, he said, go live your life, do everything you want to do now. And he had lived that. He had traveled around the world, visiting all the places he had ever wanted to go. He'd really done a lot of different things. And right after he had retired, he got diagnosed with stage 4 bone cancer. And it was a real blow to the entire family, of course, but it gave him a sense where he could let me know that he had wrapped a bow on everything. There wasn't a whole lot that he hadn't already done at that point in his life. And he reminded me, he said, Craig, go do those things, because we don't know how much time we have. You have to go out and get after it. And that was one of those moments for me. It was a watershed moment to say, gosh, you know, at this point in time, all the roads are coming together. And if I don't take this opportunity now, I don't know when I'll have it. And it was a very difficult and challenging thing to make that shift, because even in my corporate, you know, world with all of my colleagues and everything, what are you doing? It was a hard thing to describe.
I'm going to go be an artist.
I'm going to go. Yeah. Boy, does that sound crazy? He's lost his mind.
Yeah. I'm going to move to Northern California and make pottery, but you're not. You are doing something that is so cool. And you are, as you've said, a graphic artist. Your company is Aces in Action. You've had it a long time. It's not like something new, but now you're doing it full time. You take priceless artifacts and make them to your artwork now, which is part of your business, but the icing on the cake, as you described it, is your artwork, which is for a large part, a lot of aviation art. I met you back in the days when we had Warbird Radio running up and strong, and you were just doing profiles. That's all you had these gorgeous profile pictures of aircraft and all this other stuff. Now you do a variety of things, including full-blown scenes, paintings, digital paintings of aircraft, in action, as you say now, Aces in Action, which I just think is terrific. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I started gosh, boy, I started back in tinkering around in 2002, with taking these side profile concepts. And I was playing around one evening after a big stressful project at work. And I remember the tighter the deadlines, the faster the pace, the work was that I was doing, from 9 to 5, the more intense of a hobby release I found myself getting involved in to kind of relax a little bit. It sounds counterintuitive, but I couldn't sit and watch TV. I had to keep my hands moving. And so I started putting these first profile sketches together, and I realized, you know, there's something here using the digital illustration tools that I was using at work and creating artwork from it. And before I know it, I was starting to just illustrate as many various profiles as I could. And I lived in Boise, Idaho at the time, and I got a call from a military veteran society in Houston, Texas. And it was the 60th anniversary of the end of World War II, and they were bringing together a whole bunch of World War II veterans, pilots, and a few aces who were coming together for this event. And they asked if I would commemorate the event with a limited edition print. And it was the first opportunity I had to actually illustrate something for for a serious purpose here. And I had an opportunity to get on the phone and talk with a few of the veterans. One of them happened to be Jim Sweat, the U.S. Navy Medal of Honor recipient. And it absolutely changed the course of my life professionally and also artistically, because just a wonderful man. He said, I want this aircraft to be right. He said, we've seen some of your work and we really like what you've done. I'm going to send you a stack of photographs, he said, from my time on the USS Bunker Hill. And these are unpublished photographs. He said, these are my private photographs that I have, and you can use them to illustrate the aircraft and you know, get the paint chips, the dents. He said, I want this to look really good. I know you can do it. And so sure enough, a stack of prints showed up in the mail, and I laid them out, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is a history book in sitting here in front of me. And if I only had the opportunity to learn the stories behind each one of these photographs, this could be an entire book that people would love to read. I went through and illustrated this, and I actually included Archie Donahue's aircraft, and we got his signature on that. We did a limited edition run. And long story short, I wasn't able to make the event. I was working at the time, and I got a really nice letter back in the mail from Mr. Sweat, and he had autographed this letter and said everything went off without a hitch. The only problem that he had was that we had done so many prints that his hand had cramped up signing all these prints. And it was just, you know, it was great. And back in the back of the packet, it was kind of thick. And I thought, what in the world, you know, did he send? I sent him all his photographs back and everything. And in the back of the packet, I thought, gosh, are these more photographs? What are these? Well, I opened it up, and they were some of the patches off of his flight jacket that he had sent to me.
Wow.
And that, whew, I'm telling you, it gets you right in the heart every time I think about this. And so from then on, I had the opportunity, the word kind of spread, and I got a chance to meet and chat, do an illustration with Chuck Yeager, Bud Anderson, many, many other World War II veterans. And it was just a real honor to illustrate their aircraft. And it was a side hustle. I had these prints off to the side. It was a way for me to really kind of enjoy the interest I have in military history, use my skills as an artist to commemorate these guys. And then, you know, rolling up to the next 10 years, like you said, I had collected a large cache of World War II, primarily World War II, but a few modern and some earlier pieces too, of relics of the vehicles. So parts of the aircraft, parts of tanks, parts of old famous ships, things that I had just collected over the time. And And when I realized, you know, I'm not going to have these opportunities to have the autographs and to get to talk to these veterans anymore. We're losing them at such a profound rate. I thought, you know, there's value, I think, for people to learn their stories, to learn the story about Jim Sweat, for example, and include a piece of a Corsair or a piece of a P-51 Mustang or B-17 Flying Fortress. And allow
or,
people
know, something from the Titanic too. I mean, you've got prints and all
right.
kind of stuff. So
that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Very famous, pieces of history where it's not just a pretty picture or a photograph or a story in a book, but it's actually a part of that time period. And so what I did, one of my kids came in, I was listing out and building a certificate of authenticity because all my limited edition prints have a certificate that comes with it. And I would write these detailed stories and put them on the back of the picture or the framed canvas or whatever. And my kids came in, one of my daughters walked up and we were talking about one of these paintings I had just finished. And I told her the story, the significance of this aircraft and what it had done. And she said, wow, that's great. Well, she asked me, she said, well, nobody else is going to know anything about that. And I said, why is that? I have the certificate. And she said, well, the certificate goes on the back of the painting and they hang it up and nobody ever knows anything. And if you're not their daddy to tell them about this, how are they going to know? And it was like a light bulb moment, like went off in my head. And I thought, she's absolutely right. There's so much research when you're doing military history illustration. There's so much research that has to go into it to make it accurate and be representative. But nobody knows any of these details if the certificate's on the back. So I invested in some technology and looked at different methods for creating what I call informational data plates. And I've finally over the course of getting this business started, I found the equipment that was going to be required for that. And I experimented and, you know, lots of trial and error, like any entrepreneurial story, you try 10 things and they all fall apart. And for one reason or another, it was either too expensive or the detail wasn't there or what have you. And I finally found on a number of attempts, I finally found a technique that allows me to engrave the right level of detail, the story of the image, the picture that you're looking at, the significance of this historical action taking place, but then also a location to mount the artifact and to share the story of the artifact. Where did the artifact come from? And so this is where I now, on the front of each of my canvas paintings, I can go through and actually have, you know, all of the details put together and included right up at the front. It's, it's all about learning the history and learning about their story and being able to feel a piece of the artifact. And it's almost a multimedia experience that I've been putting together, and that's where part of the this marketing component that I've built in my career kind of comes from. I want this to be more of an experience where you can touch it, you can look at it, you can appreciate it. It's a collector's piece. It's something that's unique in the marketplace like that.
I think it's great. High-tailed Lady, one of my favorites, with the B-17. I was just thinking through this, you know, at the end of World War II, roughly 80 years, at the end of World War II, was the Civil War, the American Civil War. Today, we're just as far now from World War II and even further from that touch point in the history of the American Civil War. Your stuff today, even though it resonates with us as kids who knew these people, I mean, growing up around the Commemorative Air Force down in Harlingen back in the day, Archie Donahue flew in the air show. I mean, these guys, they were our grandparents, right? And so we knew them, and it was nothing particularly special as a kid growing up to have an interaction with a World War II veteran. Everybody was a World War II veteran. Today, though, as you've said, it's just not the case. It's up to us to keep this history alive and to keep telling these stories so it's not forgotten. And I think what you're doing, Craig, it's tactile. It's something that you can see and touch and know that it's special because, hey, look, not only is there this gorgeous print hanging on the wall, but, oh, by the way, here's the bridge that connects our family to this historic moment. It's an artifact. It's a signature. It's, you know, it's whatever it is. It's a wonderful idea. And you're bringing this, which was only possible in high-end museums now to the home. And I think that's just, I think it's so wonderful. You have a small problem, though. You have this obsession with aircraft radios. There's a picture on your website, in fact, with I don't know how many aircraft radios, but God bless your wife and family, because you must have these things just scattered about the house.
I can only
imagine the other artifacts that you've had. That's part of this, though, the incurable collector. If you're someone like that and you'd like to take and adopt one of these artifacts, what a great way to do it than with a beautiful print. It sort of softens the blow, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's as a collector, my wife has been extremely patient. And what's funny about that too, I get collections from all over the place. Once I launched the new website and really kind of went full steam ahead with the relic artwork, all of a sudden, you know, doors start opening. People start calling you up and saying, "Hey, I've got some things that you might be interested in."
And now it's a business expense, which is even worse because
that's right.
You have a reason, and you're poor. Why? Oh my gosh, Craig.
Well, and you know what's happened with me, which is really interesting, because I used to have a large collection of World War II militaria that I've had, you know, for years. And now that these pieces come through, I get to hold them for a certain period of time. I get to enjoy them, and then I repurpose them for the artwork, and they go back out the door. And so my personal collection, it sounds strange, but my personal collection has actually reduced, even though my entire collection has expanded, because I'm able to enjoy things, appreciate them, and then let them move on. Those radios, for example, came out of an old barn in Texas, and I had caught wind that these are all ARC 5, ARC 3 radio sets from World War II, and there were a number of miscellaneous parts in there as well. These pieces have become invaluable to the warbird community. In fact, I just outfitted the B-25 Mitchell bomber Old Glory with a complete set of ARC 5 radios and transmitters, along with a number of the additional components, sure, because this collection was so large. So it was an opportunity for me to really kind of not only, you know, take pieces of them for the artwork, but also to just support the warbird community in the restoration of their aircraft too.
I think it's great, and you're doing great work. If folks want to find you, it's Aces in Action. Aces in Action. We're going to quick link it into the show story here. But such great work, and I love your stuff because of the detail. The Titanic piece that you have, one of the cool things about this is it's unlike a photograph or a traditional painting. The way that you paint and the medium that you paint within and that you do your artwork in is digital. So you can zoom in on this thing, and the detail is just stunning. I mean, it's really stunning. It's almost like you can see the whiskers on the captain's face if you continued to zoom in. Walk me through that, because that has to, at some point, you just have to say, okay, enough's enough.
Yeah. Like any art piece, you know, you have to kind of get to a point where you step back for a moment and you say, we're there. We're done. I could continue to spend time and continue to work on it, but at some point you've got to put a bow on it, stick a fork in it, and call it done. My art pieces that I use, they are digital. I used to work in acrylics and oils. the computer, being able to use that, I use a Wacom drawing tablet. So I still use a pen, a digital pen on a tablet. So the work is still done by hand. A lot of people say, oh, that's computer generated. No, it's actually human generated using the computer as the tool. And I've gotten to the point where I build 3D models to angle them, turn them, add detail, put skin textures on them. Then I go back into other software tools, art illustration tools, to go back and paint things out and add the color and put rivets and details and things like that. And they take a lot of time to put together. But the best part is that I have the, if you're familiar with shortcut keys, the command or the control Z option, the undo. That was always a huge factor. And right. if I made a mistake, I can just pop right back and tweak it. But really, when it comes to the military history or vehicle history subjects that I illustrate, I spend almost as much time doing the research as I do in the illustration itself, because what's right is right. And it goes back to what Jim Sweat, kind of instilled in me early on. He wanted rivet level, paint chip level detail, and what's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. And he kind of came with the attitude that 99% isn't really quite good enough for him. And that always really kind of stuck with me, that if you're going to do illustration in the space of military history, of vehicles, of these types of, very serious subject matter, you've really got to have your research done. And that does take just as much time as the paintings do.
All right, Craig, the last few seconds here, I want you to walk me through. You're on the fence, whatever it is that you're struggling with, that you're thinking about right now, and you're listening to Craig. Walk us through, Craig, that decision-making process as far as when it's time. When is it time to jump? Yeah. Walk me through that life lesson one more time, because I want this to really sink in here for folks who are on the fence, because I guarantee you they're sitting there, they're going, all right, Craig, give it to me straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when it comes down to making that personal decision, to make the leap of faith is really what it boils down to. There's never that perfect moment that just comes out and hits you. You have to take that leap of faith. Even for me, I didn't come to the point where, I was financially secure to a point where I could just, cast all occupational responsibilities to the wind and become an artist. I had gotten to a point in my life that I knew if I didn't do this now, I probably will never do it. And I think the regret of not attempting to do it, I could always go back and find a job. There's jobs out there. But I may get to a point where I may not be able to do this later in life. And this is that intersection for me that felt this is about as good as it's going to get. And it's not easy. It's not an easy decision for you to swallow. It's not an easy decision for your family, perhaps. But if things are coming together in a way and the stars are aligning in a way and a purpose that is, something that you just cannot ignore, don't ignore it. You really got to grab life by the horns. And back to what, the thing that my dad instilled in me was don't wait to live your life in the future. Do it now.
Well said, Craig. Words to live by. You are a master of your art, and I love what you're doing, Craig. And I just, I truly love your spirit and the way you're living out this modern American dream. Has it been a success?
Oh, it has. We're on track. If I could get through a pandemic and keep working, man, I tell you, I didn't know the pandemic was coming, and I count my blessings, my lucky stars every day. I owe my guardian angels overtime pay, because we're on track where we should be. So,
and I say, is it a success? That's the cherry on top, but it doesn't have to be. If you start something and it's an abysmal failure, you have failed forward. You're closer to whatever it is that you're trying to reach. So don't let that hinder you from what you want to do. Get out there and become the best version of you. I just want to encourage you. Whatever you're dealing with today, take a lesson from Craig. Don't wait. Go live.
That's right.
Craig Tender, Aces in Action, a master of the art. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, bud. Listen, if you've enjoyed today, share it with your friends. It's historyworthsaving.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can even become a member of our exclusive content section. When the shows come out, we put them up there right away. You'll never miss an episode. Season 4, Masters of the Art, and Craig Tender. Thanks again for being here, everybody. We'll talk again real soon on the next episode of History Worth Saving. So long for now.